enjoyed it.
If you have your Bible, let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. We began thinking last Sunday morning about some of the places in the Bible, and the place we looked at last Sunday morning in the Old Testament was a place named, do you remember? Bethel. And Bethel in the Hebrew is actually a combination of two Hebrew words. Beth, the prefix, means the house of. El is one of the names of God, and so Bethel literally means the house of God. I asked Mary when I first learned that, someone gave me the definition of a house. And I decided I'd ask Mary if she felt like the definition of a house was true, because before I say anything, I always run it by Mary. I always ask her to read through all my messages and make sure they're biblically accurate and theologically accurate. And so someone gave me the definition of a house, and I asked Mary, I said, Mary, would you tell me if you think this definition is accurate? And she said, okay. And I said, first of all, I heard that a house is a place where a man resides. It's a place where he lives. It's a place where he dwells. It's a place where a man resides. And Mary said, yes, that's right. A house is a place where a man resides. I said, secondly, a house is a place where a man rules. And she said, well, I know that's right. A house is a place where a man rules, where he is head, where he rules, right? And the problem for those of us who are men is people don't always obey what we say. But a house is a place where a man rules. And she said, I know that's right. And I said, thirdly, a house is a place where a man is refreshed. It's a place where he can rest. It's a place where he can find refreshment. A house is a place where a man resides. It's a place where a man rules. And it's a place where a man is refreshed. Would you agree? Bethel, the house of God. You and I as a local church are the house of God. Shouldn't Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel be the house of God in that sense? Shouldn't this be a place where God resides, a place where he dwells, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? Shouldn't this be a place where God rules? Jesus Christ is the head of his church. And shouldn't this be a place where, in a sense, God is refreshed as we sing songs of praise and worship? Shouldn't it be a sweet savor to him? Shouldn't it be a place where, in a sense, God is worshipped? God is refreshed as he meets with us? And if that's true corporately, as we meet together as a local body of believers, isn't it also true in an individual sense? You and I, as individuals, our bodies are the temple of God. Our bodies are the house of God. God resides in each one of us individually. God should rule in each one of us individually. And God should be refreshed. There's a sense of that in which in our praise and worship in our life lived for him, God should be refreshed. A house is a place where a man resides, a place where a man rules, and a place where a man is refreshed. And so may that be true of us corporately and as individuals as the house of God. Well, as important a city as Bethel was in the Old Testament, it is never once mentioned in the New Testament. But we said there are six places that begin with the Hebrew prefix Beth that were important in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in New Testament times. And we've already looked at three. Bethlehem means literally the house of bread. Bread reminds us of God's provision. For all those years, God provided manna for the children of Israel in the wilderness. It reminds us that God provides what is necessary for his people. That the Lord Jesus Christ was born at Bethlehem. God provided a Savior for us. Someone who would forgive us for our sins, someone who would go to the cross and be our substitute as he paid the penalty for our sins. God provided a Savior for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you thankful we have a Savior? Bethlehem is the house of bread, the place of God's provision. We looked at Bethabara, the house of crossing is what the name means. It was a place of decision. It was no doubt very near the place, if not the place, where the children of Israel, under the leadership of Joshua, crossed the Jordan River and marched just a few miles, that would be westward, toward Jericho and conquered the city of Jericho. They had to make a decision whether or not they would obey God and enter into the promised land or disobey God as they had 40 years before and turn away from the promised land. They decided to obey God and enter into the promised land. And God gave them the great victory in the land. It was the place, Bethabara, where John was baptizing in the Jordan River, calling people to make a decision to repent of their sins and turn and follow God. And so Bethabara is a place of crossing, a place of decision. And God calls each one of us to make a decision in our lives whether or not we will follow him. We looked at the third one, where the Lord Jesus Christ healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. Bethesda means literally the house of mercy. Aren't you glad that God is a merciful God? Aren't you glad that God is loving and kind and compassionate and healed the man at the pool of Bethesda? Well, this morning we come to the fourth Beth in the New Testament in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's found in Matthew chapter 21. The familiar story of the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Then they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. I'd like for us to notice just four things from this account this morning. Firstly, I'd like for us to notice the location of Bethpage. Bethpage is only mentioned in the New Testament in connection with the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not mentioned in connection with any other event in the New Testament. But apparently Bethpage was just east of Jerusalem. As you go out of Jerusalem toward the east, you come to the Mount of Olives. Apparently just past the Mount of Olives, maybe a couple miles or even perhaps less outside of the center of Jerusalem, just past the Mount of Olives to the east, was Bethpage. And just a little ways past that was Bethany, the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. So Bethpage was located just a little ways east of Jerusalem, not a long walk, perhaps less than a couple miles, right in the area and just east of the Mount of Olives. Not quite as far as Bethany. There is something significant to the Lord Jesus Christ during the triumphal entry coming to Jerusalem from the east. As you came up toward Jerusalem from the east, you would pass First of all, you would pass Bethany, then you would come to Bethpage, then you would come to the Mount of Olives. And as you entered Jerusalem from the east, you would come into the eastern gate of the city. Now, the eastern gate was called in Jerusalem, catch the significance of that, the Sheep Gate. Do you see the significance? The Lord Jesus Christ is riding into Jerusalem just a few days before Passover. Just a few days before those sacrificial lambs would be killed. And as he comes over the brow of the Mount of Olives, from Bethpage over the top of the Mount of Olives and rides into Jerusalem, he will come in from the east into the Sheep Gate, where those sacrificial lambs were kept, which were offered as sacrifices in the temple. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But there's more significance to that. If we turn back for and look at just a couple of verses in the book of Ezekiel, we'll find something else very interesting. Does anyone know when Ezekiel was written? When did Ezekiel prophesy? Do you know when he prophesied? Ezekiel prophesied during the Babylonian captivity, during the 70 years that the Jews were carried away into Babylon and were captives in the land of Babylon. You remember Nebuchadnezzar's armies had come to Jerusalem. They had destroyed the temple and they had carried away the Jews into the land of Babylon. You remember when the glory of God departed from the temple? It's very interesting. If you read Ezekiel chapters 10 and 11, when God's glory departed from the temple, where did it go? It went, according to Ezekiel chapters 10 and 11, east and dwelt near the Mount of Olives, near this place called Bethpage. Now, Ezekiel chapter 43. Ezekiel prophesies during the Babylonian captivity after the temple has been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. But he is describing a future temple that will come. And notice what Ezekiel says in chapter 43. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Afterward, he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple by way of the gate which faces toward the east. Go over one chapter in Ezekiel. Look at chapter 44, verse 1. Then he brought me back to the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces toward the east, but it was shut. And the Lord said to me, "This gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter by it, because the Lord God of Israel has entered by it." Ezekiel had prophesied back in the days of the Babylonian captivity that when Messiah came to Jerusalem, when God in human form, the Messiah came to Jerusalem, he would enter Jerusalem where? Through the eastern gate. During the time of the triumphal entry, when those people found a colt and set Jesus on it, they spread palm branches in the way and shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." The Lord Jesus Christ was riding into Jerusalem from Bethpage, east of Jerusalem, over the brow of the Mount of Olives, and into the city through the eastern gate, the gate in which Ezekiel prophesied Messiah would come. He entered in through the Sheep Gate, where those sacrificial lambs were kept to be offered in the temple. Do you see the significance of that? He is the Messiah, isn't he? He is the Son of God, the Savior, the sacrificial lamb who would come to redeem his people. After we notice the location of Bethpage, let's go on and notice the song that these multitudes sang in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 9. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Doesn't music have a way? Doesn't singing have a way of lifting our spirits? Of drawing us out in worship to God? I need to tell you this because I learned something great this week. Often when I go somewhere, as I've been here this week, I'll say, is there anyone I can visit? Any shut-ins, any sick, anyone who should be visited? And so I asked, Brother Frank Perry this week. I said, Frank, is there anyone that I can go visit? And Frank said, yes. He said, there are several sick, several ill, several shut-ins. He said, I'll take you around. And, So one day this week, Frank came and picked me up, and we ran around to see several people on the island who had been sick and shut in. And almost every time I go out and visit with someone like that, I learn something new. And I learned something from Frank this week that I really appreciate. When he came to pick me up, I came out to the car with my Bible and with my glasses so I could read some verses and see the verses as I read them. And Frank not only had his Bible, but he also had a songbook with him. And as we went around and visited several people who were sick, we read some verses from the scripture, verses of comfort. And then Frank would take out the songbook and he'd say, may I sing a song for you? And he told me, he said, I could join in as well. I'm not much of a singer, but he said, I could join in as well. And so Frank would start to sing words of comfort. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And other hymns of comfort. And I would join in and sing with him as best I could. And often when we visited, there was someone else with the person who was ill. And they would join in and we'd have a trio. And then the person who was ill would begin to sing along with us. And sometimes we had a quartet or something. And it just, I tell you, it just lifted my spirits. And I wasn't even sick. It just lifted my spirits. And I think it was a real encouragement to the people who we went to visit too. Doesn't music have a way of lifting our spirits in praise and worship to the Lord? And I really learned something from Frank this week about the joy. I have a friend who, years ago, we were working together, doing something. And as we were working, I was just working, and he was kind of singing. And after a while, as we were working for a while, he stopped and he said, George, what's wrong with you? And I was caught off guard. I was kind of surprised when he asked me, George, what's wrong with you? And I said, well, a lot of things. You know, where do you want to start? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, why don't you ever sing? And so we started singing some hymns together and some songs of praise. I have another friend who, whenever he has his devotions, whenever he has his quiet time with the Lord, he not only takes his Bible, but he also takes a hymn book. And after he reads some verses or some chapters in the scriptures, he opens his hymn book and he just quietly, just him and the Lord, quietly sing some songs of praise and worship, some of the old great hymns of the faith. Doesn't music have a way of lifting our hearts and lifting our spirits to the Lord? These people, as the Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem, began singing from one of the Psalms. In fact, it's Psalm 118. Hosanna to the King of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And there was praise and there was worship of the Lord Jesus Christ as they went along. Let's turn back to that psalm that they sang, Psalm chapter 118. And I want us to notice something very interesting. As the Jews approached the feast of the Passover, they traditionally read Psalm 113 to 118. I can imagine a Jewish family gathered around, father, mother, children, and they would pull out their copy of the scriptures, the Old Testament. And the Jews traditionally, as Passover approached, would sit as a family and read Psalm 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118. That group of psalms is called the Hallel, a group of worship psalms and praise psalms. And if you read Psalm 118, the verse that these people sang as the Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on the donkey is from Psalm 118, verse 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. No doubt these people and their families had been reading these words just these last couple days as Passover approached. But go on and keep reading. Verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Now notice this. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. In other words, as they sang out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the very next verse says that there will be a sacrifice made on the altar. And that's exactly what happened, wasn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, God, he who comes in the name of the Lord, who is to be praised and worshiped and adored, will go to the cross and will be a sacrifice and will bear your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Bind the sacrifice with cords on the horns of the altar. He would be our sacrifice. After we notice the location of Bethpage and the song that they sang, the sacrifice, may I say one more thing about the sacrifice? Find the sacrifice with cords on the horns of the altar. The Lord Jesus Christ would be our sacrifice. Do you remember the verse that says he was led as a sheep, as a lamb before its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth? I remember Rex Trogdon telling the story, and maybe he's told it to you. Or maybe he will tell it when he comes in a couple of weeks. If he tells you in a couple of weeks, don't tell him that I already told you the story, okay? But I remember Rex telling the story of a time he was in Africa, and there was a conference in Africa, a Bible conference. And Rex was, he may have been one of the speakers at the conference, probably he was. He may have just been in attendance. But he said when they had a meal at the conference, They would slaughter some animals for the meal. And he said that there were goats that they would often slaughter for their meal. And the place where he was staying was not too far from the place where they would slaughter the animals for their meals. They would slaughter the animals and then cook them and eat them for their feast. And Rex said that when they brought the goats to be slaughtered, he would hear all this commotion, all this noise, all this screaming and howling, and he said the goats made an awful noise and fought terribly because they sensed that they were being led to be slaughtered. And he said you heard this awful commotion from the goats and they made this awful noise and they seemed to fight. Rex said there was this awful noise as the goats were slaughtered for the meal. But then Rex said there were times when they would slaughter a sheep for the meal. And Rex said he watched as that sheep was led to the slaughtering place. And there was not a sound. No fighting. The sheep just went quietly, submissively to be slaughtered. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly, submissively, in the will of God the Father, went to the cross and died for your sins and for my sins. He's a great Savior, isn't he? After we see the location of Bethpage in the song that they sang, I think we need to notice something else very interesting about this triumphal entry, and that's the time of the triumphal entry. Turn to one more passage in your Bible, Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, God gives Moses the commandments for observing the Passover feast. And in Exodus chapter 12, we read this. Verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month." Now notice that. On the 10th day of this month, "every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for the household." Keep that in mind. The lamb was selected, the Passover lamb was selected on the 10th day of the month. Now keep reading. Verse 4. "And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." Now notice verse 6. "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole house, then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." According to the observance, God had set down in his law for the observance of the Sabbath day. When was the Passover lamb selected? It was not selected on the day of the Passover. The Passover lamb was not selected the day before the Passover. Not even 2 days before the Passover. It was selected 4 days before the Passover. On the 10th day of the month, each man shall take a lamb for himself and for his household. The lamb shall be without blemish and without spot. And for 4 days after that lamb was selected, the Jews were to watch the lamb. They were to examine the lamb. They were to be sure it was the perfect, spotless lamb. And then after 4 days of watching the lamb, 4 days after the lamb was selected, on the Passover, the lamb would be sacrificed. If you read through the timeline of this triumphal entry, it seems as if 4 days before Passover, 4 days before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, you count back 4 days, and that was the time of the triumphal entry. 4 days before Passover, 4 days before the crucifixion, was this day, the day we remember as Palm Sunday, when the Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem, and the crowds of people threw down palm branches and said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The Lamb was chosen. And then 4 days later, the Lamb of God was crucified for your sins and for my sins. But one more passage we need to look at. The location of Bethpage, just east of Jerusalem, where the Lord Jesus Christ would enter the city in the eastern gate, where Messiah would come. The sheep gate, where the sacrificial lambs were kept. The song that they sang, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then later in that song we read, "Bind the sacrifice with cords on the horns of the altar." The time? 4 days before Passover, when the sacrificial lambs were being chosen. And finally, let's look at the name, the meaning of this name. You know what the name Bethpage means? Well, we know Beth means the house of. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Beth Abra, the house of crossing. Bethany, the house of mercy. The name Bethpage literally means the house of figs. The house of figs. Bethpage was undoubtedly an area where there were many fig trees that grew. And we don't have time to go into all the significance of the house of figs. But the fig tree, as you know, is a symbol of the nation of Israel in its spiritual rejection of Christ. Every time you read of a fig tree in the New Testament, in the time of Christ, the fig tree is barren. It is bearing no fruit whatsoever. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ told a parable of a fig tree over in Luke chapter 13. And let's notice these as the final verses this morning. Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. He, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none." For 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree. The public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ spanned 3 years. For 3 years, he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. For 3 years, he looked for the Jews to receive him as their Messiah. And for 3 years, he found only a small handful who were willing to receive him. He says, "For 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Let it alone this year also until I dig it about and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." Would the fig tree bear fruit? Well, you know the answer. Because just a few short days after the Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on this donkey, just a few short days after those crowds of people shouted out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Just a few days after that, those cries would be turned to cries, "Crucify him! Crucify him! We will not have this man to reign over us." And they took the Lord Jesus and rejected him, nailed him to a cross, and there they watched him die. But our God has a way of taking that, doesn't he? And turning that to our salvation. Because it was through his death on the cross, it was through his shed blood that God accomplished your salvation and my salvation. You see the significance of Bethpage? East of Jerusalem, where the Lord Jesus Christ, as he rode into the city, would enter the eastern gate, the gate through which Ezekiel said Messiah would come. He would enter at the sheep gate, which was another name for the eastern gate, for the sacrificial lambs were kept. The people shouted out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And the psalm goes on to say, "Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar." He would be the sacrifice for us. That event took place on the day each Jewish family was choosing its sacrificial lamb to be offered at Passover, 4 days before the Passover. And Bethpage is the house of figs, the place where we're reminded that the nation of Israel rejected Christ as their Messiah. But their rejection of him has turned to our salvation, as God has offered salvation to the whole world. Are you thankful that we have such a great Savior? Any comments? Questions? I've done a lot of talking. Any comments? Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful for this place that's only mentioned in connection with the triumphal entry. We're thankful that we have such a great Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. He came and showed his compassion as he healed.